Welcome, all you liars, infidels, and fools. My name is Haley.
And my name's Brandy. And we are Easy Killer.
Easy Killer.
Easy Killer. What's up, guys?
How's it going?
How's it hanging, you men?
Did you say
women?
And women. You have to include and women.
You have to include everyone. That's what I said. I sound like a whore. I'm not. I get nervous in the beginning.
You have your 900 voice.
Oh, yes.
900 number voice going.
Hello.
Hello. Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about a murder that I don't think a lot of people have heard of.
I love these kind.
I think a few different big name podcasts without saying their names. May have done an episode on this a long time ago, but you know what? It's going to sound better coming from me, damn it.
Yes, it will.
So.
What do you think, Haley?
The murder that we're going to talk about today has been dubbed the Bluebell Murders.
The Bluebell Murders.
Dun, dun, dun.
Bum, bum, bum.
Okay, so do you want to know why it's called the Bluebell Murders?
Yes.
It is called the Bluebell Murders because the murder occurred on a ship. Well, rather a double-mast sailboat yacht.
Oh, man.
Called the Bluebell.
You know the word yacht, if it's in there, you know they're pretty fucking rich.
Oh, yeah. Well, it wasn't their yacht. It was a yacht that they were, you know, renting for the week or whatever.
Renting
a yacht is expensive.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all have ever watched Below Deck on Bravo.
I don't, but I feel like anything with the word yacht and it's going to be money.
Those bitches are fucking
below deck.
Their noses are up in the sky.
Oh, shit. You know, just imagine if you can own a yacht. You'd just be like, oh, let's go over there, my yacht.
Fuck even owning a yacht. I mean, I would just like to even see one in person.
I wonder if there's ever been a yacht on the Ohio River.
I doubt. I mean, I don't know. There are royalty of Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, as far as you know. Put a yacht in the Ohio River?
I don't see why not.
I mean, it is a boat.
I don't see why yacht.
I don't
see.
No pun intended.
Okay.
Oh, man.
I don't see why yacht. You could. Okay. All right. Enough play on words about ships.
Bluebell.
Let's get into it. All right. So, we are spotlighting the Duperol family.
Duperol. That's a name, ain't it?
You want to know how it's spelled?
Yes, I do.
It's not spelled how it's pronounced.
Tell me.
Duperrault.
Damn. I'm dyslexic. I would have misspelled the shit out of that.
It looks like Duperlet, maybe?
Yeah, that probably.
But it's Duperol.
Duperol. And I'm on a yacht on the Ohio River.
Come kill me. Okay, so it was the Duperol family. The father was Dr. Arthur Duperol, 41 years old.
Doctor.
He was an optometrist.
Which is an eye doctor.
Yes. His wife, Jean Duperol, 38 years old. His son, Brian Duperol, he was 14 years old. Renee Duperol, who was 7. And then Mary Dean, who was 34, was not related to the Duperols. She was actually a, crew member.
Oh, okay.
But really, she was the wife of the captain.
Oh, okay.
Of the yacht, ship, whatever. I'm just going to call it a ship. It's a ship, right? Yachts are ships.
I mean, no, I don't know. I'm not.
Why do we have to be specific about it?
I feel like somebody's going to come at us.
Why do we have to be specific about it?
I would have said some shit like that.
I'm done. Okay.
Oh my God. Pacific.
So, Dr. Duperol was a prominent optometrist in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This was him and his wife and their children's first time sailing on a yacht. They wanted to try it out and see what it was like. So, they sailed from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas. And the ship was captained by Julian Harvey.
And what year was this?
Yes, I was getting ready to get to that. That's a very good question. This happened way back in 1961. Okay. November 12th, 1961. To be...
Exact.
Pacific.
You know how long.
Even though technically they were in the Atlantic Ocean.
Right.
So, Julian Harvey, he was the captain of the Bluebell, and he was a World War II and Korean War pilot. And he had recently married, his wife, Mary Dean, who I spoke of earlier. She was, you know, the crew of on the ship. She was the cook and the stewardess and all that. She was actually a former airline stewardess. So, you know.
Right.
She had experience in hospitality, so it wasn't all like, you know, oh, my wife's going to come and take care of you. She knew what she was doing.
Can you imagine being like, hey, I'm a stewardess? That's weird. It's a weird word. Stewardess.
It's actually stewardess. With the why are you laughing?
I don't know.
With a D, not a T.
Stewardess.
It's like Stuart, but without the T and add a D. Stewardess. There you go.
Boom. Got it.
Yeah.
And now I learned something new because I'm 37 and called the steward list.
Stewardess. You're gonna learn a lot today.
That's, my vocab that's is all gonna I be gotta on say.
Point. So, back to Mr. Harvey, Julian Harvey. He and his wife, Mary, had just been previously married in July of that year.
Right.
So they were freshly married. Well, they got married.
Mm-hmm. So you know they were fucking
They got lot. Married in Mexico. But Harvey was a womanizer.
Ooh,
this was his sixth time being married. He had been married 5 times previously. Do you want to see a photo of him?
Yes, I do. Well, that's weird.
That's him. Can you see? I can get it closer to you if not. He was actually kind of a handsome guy.
I could see
He's a good looking guy.
Julian over there.
Yeah. Okay, Julian.
Look at you, Julian.
Okay, Julian. Easy killer.
Easy killer.
But for real. He had actually survived 2 plane crashes during his time in the military as a war pilot.
Could you fucking imagine getting in 2 fucking plane wrecks?
Oh, there's my cat.
And you get murdered out of nowhere, like on a ship?
Well, he didn't necessarily get murdered.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that, though.
Oh, okay. I thought that's where we were going, but, you know.
Like I said, it was a story of survival as well.
Alrighty.
I don't know if I said that. I think I said that before we started.
I didn't ruin the whole podcast.
It's good. It's good. There's a lot to come. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
So the Bluebell was a 60-foot luxury yacht that they were vacationing on. They had been sailing for 5 days. They sailed from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas, and then they were going to sail back from the Bahamas to Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to start the return voyage. Because that's some more ship terminology for you.
Right.
To Fort Lauderdale on the morning of November 13th, 1961. But against Dr. Duperrell's better judgment, he agreed to let Captain Harvey sail at night. Because they looked at it as maybe it would be a cool experience to sail at night.
Right.
They had sailed during the day and they were, you know, right. They were fond of that.
To be the Titanic and smack the iceberg.
Right. They were like, whatever. Fuck it. Let's sail at night. Okay. Don't see any reason why we shouldn't.
Julian's going to be the one that probably lives through the entire thing.
They were all new to sailing. Right. And they were new to sailing at night, especially.
Right. You know? That's all new. That's a lot of beginning shit to be doing to yourself.
So, Terry Duperrell, which is one of the Duperrell's children, she was 11 years old. Terry Jo was her name.
Hell yeah.
I might refer to her as Terry throughout this. It might be TJ. Terry Jo. I don't know. Whatever comes out.
Right.
So, she recalled they set sail that night. And after dinner, she laid down in her cabin around 9 p.m. And these were, like, individual cabins. Oh. Like, okay. It was, like, a little, like, room, but with just, like, one bed in it.
Right.
So, she was in there, you know, chilling, sleeping, doing whatever you do. And she woke up around 11 p.m. because she heard screams.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That had to be creepy.
So, she went to investigate because she thought that she heard her brother screaming. Right. Her brother, Brian, who was 14 years old. So he was the oldest, and Terry Joe was the middle child. So when she went to investigate, she found her mother, Jean Duperreault, and her brother lying in a pool of blood.
Oh my God. 11 years old.
In the galley, which is what they call the kitchen.
Right.
So she was confused, obviously. She was like, what the hell is going on?
I'm on a boat, and I'm stuck on a boat with a fucking murderer?
Right, yeah. So she was like, you know, I don't know what else to do. She was looking for the captain, you know, which is probably what anybody would do when you find your mom and your brother laying in a pool of blood.
Right.
So she climbed up. There's like a ladder that you climb up that goes up to the main deck. And when she got up there, she saw Captain Harvey. And, like, all of a sudden, out of, like, nowhere, he, like, strikes her in the face.
Captain Harvey?
Yes.
The captain. Hits her in the face.
And shoves her back down into the lower deck area.
Oh, my God.
And then he shut the door after her.
What the fuck?
And she didn't know what to do. She was like, so, like, she's 11 years old. You know what I mean? Like, what are you going to do? You're on a, you know what I mean? So, she says she went back into her cabin and she laid down.
Right.
And she said she was laying there for a while. And then all of a sudden, Captain Harvey bursts into her room with a fucking rifle. And just, like, is holding the rifle at her and just, like, staring at her. But he's not doing anything.
Whoa. So, you mean to fucking tell me this broad's chilling, minding her own fucking business. She gets up, a little drink of water. I hear her scream. I'm walking, thinking it's nothing. I get over there. My whole family, was it three of them?
Three of whom?
You said her mom?
Well, at the time she had only seen her mother and her brother.
Okay, so
lying in a pool of blood.
Lying in a pool of blood.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I get hit in my face. And I go back and lay down? That's wild.
I mean, I don't know. It's
for different folks.
Exactly. Just, yeah, I mean, whatever. Maybe she was like, if I go to bed, I'll wake up. You never know.
Maybe she just get hit in the face because somebody hits me in the face. So, all bets are off.
He's standing in the middle of her room in this yacht, and he's like pointing a rifle at her. He's just staring at her, and he's not doing anything. So then all of a sudden he just turns around and walks out and shuts the door behind him.
Right.
So she's still laying there on her bed, and all of a sudden water starts rushing into her cabin.
What?
Yeah. Like, think like some Titanic shit.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Shit's popping off, you know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she was like, all right, something's going on. The boat's sinking, obviously.
Oh,
there's fucking
God.
Water rushing into my cabin.
Can you imagine waking up to that bullshit? I'm going to be pissed.
Right. So she was like, okay, well, the boat's sinking, but what happened to my family?
Right.
Why are they bleeding?
Right.
You know? So she goes back up to the deck again and hopes that the captain can help save her. Because she's still at this point, she doesn't know what the fuck's going
on.
I wouldn't be asking, you know, the captain for any sort of fucking advice at this point. But this was in a different time. This was in the 1960s. The early 1960s
I'm sorry,
at that.
Whatever era, you know? I'm in. But if you fucking hit me in the face and you're not my mom and dad, and I just seen them laying dead, I'm sure the fuck not gonna go back in my damn room and go to sleep with my blankie like nothing's wrong.
Right.
And then give you enough time to fucking come and try to kill me with a shotgun, and then water rushes in. That's wild.
I'm telling you, this story just gets wilder, man.
Oh my God.
So hold on. Hold on. All right, so she's running up back to the deck to hope that the captain can somehow save her. So she sees him, and he's, like, lowering something into the water. And she's like, is the boat sinking? You know?
Normal question you're going to ask. What's going on,
you know? So he hands her, like, a rope or, like, some sort of, like, I think it was a rope.
Right.
It was something like that.
Here's this rope, you're gonna die.
Yeah, so then as he handed her the rope, and he started walking away, so she ended up dropping it, and it, like, landed into the water, and then noticed that there was, like, a dinghy attached to the rope that he was asking her to hold. So she drops it into the water, and so he's like, oh, fuck, my fucking dinghy is in the water. I have to jump in after it. I can't do anything else now.
Right.
Because it's later on believed that he had asked her to hold that rope because he went to go get something to kill her with.
Right.
But she dropped it.
Right.
And he was like, well, I have no choice but to fucking jump in after it.
Right.
So he jumps in after it. His dinghy's fucking floating away and he's like, no, I'm coming in hot after it.
Right. Excuse me, TJ, but I'm gonna let you hold this rope. I will be right back. I'm gonna go chop your fucking head off.
Right. So he dives overboard to get on the dinghy. And so I guess he just assumed, like, all right, the boat's already sinking, so right, there's no need for me to get my hands even dirtier.
There's no use to do anything. Terry Joe is on her last leg.
Terry Joe is on her last leg. Oh, it's funny you should say that.
oh, shit. She's gonna lose a leg.
No. No, nothing like that. Exactly. Trigger warning.
She may or may not lose a leg.
Nah. Her limbs are all, well, somehow, yeah. They're all intact.
I'm excited.
So she was standing there on the deck by herself, and she was like, what am I going to do now? And then she remembered that earlier on in the trip, she had seen this small, like, 2 by 2 foot by 5 foot, like, core craft.
Right.
And when I say core craft, it sounds like something different than what it is.
Right.
Think, like, okay, pool noodles.
Oh, okay.
Think it's, like, pool noodles, like, all strung together. Right. And then, like netting.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? Underneath of it.
Right.
So, that's pretty much what it was. She threw it overboard, and she dived in after it, and she sat there and watched as the Bluebell sank into the sea.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And so, she was stranded by herself at sea, basically.
Oh, my God.
She didn't know.
Where's old dude?
She didn't. He was gone. He had somehow gotten away. Mm-hmm.
And mind you, like the rest of her family. How many more of them on the boat?
Like most men do, they take their dinghy and they roll. Run.
They roll out with the dinghy. So, real quick, all the rest of her family, which is how many is on the boat, are at some
2 siblings and her mother and father.
Okay, so 4.
And Captain Harvey's wife. So 5.
Damn, Captain Harvey just bounced out on his wife. Yep. Did he?
Okay. So. She was by herself. She was, you know, whatever.
Right,
so, the next day, Captain Harvey was found and rescued in the dinghy that he had escaped in. And he was clinging to Renee Duperrell's body. Renee Duperrell is the youngest daughter of the Duperrell family. She was 7 years old. He was clinging to her body. When they found him.
So, okay. When he hit her in the face, is he, like, responsible for everything that went down? Or was he hitting her in the face, like...
Well, we'll find out.
Okay.
Very shortly.
So little Renee.
Yeah, he was clinging to little Renee's body.
Dead body?
Dead body, yeah. Ooh. She wasn't alive, she was dead. And he was claiming that he had tried to save her. So, you know, he was rescued and taken in, and he, you know, his story was that there was a big, like, you know, storm, a squall, as they call it, on the sea, came along, and it fucked the Bluebell up, and, you know, one of the masts came crashing down.
Right.
And then it, like, ruptured an auxiliary gas tank.
Goddamn, he had a whole storage plant.
Caused a fire. And then it sunk everyone on the ship and killed everyone on board. With it. And he claimed he was the only survivor. But
he thought Terry Joe was gonna die at sea.
Exactly.
But we got a fucking savage here.
We don't know what's to come of old Terry Joe yet.
No, Terry Joe's built like no other.
Yeah, so he had tried to save Renee, but she had already drowned.
Right.
So let's go back to Terry Joe. She was alone on the Corcraft for 4 days.
Ooh.
With no food, no water, no shelter.
Shit, she's sunburned as fuck.
It was scorching hot during the day, so her exposed skin, everything was sunburnt. And during the nights, it was super cold, and she would, like, go into, like, hypothermia and shit.
She was tan as fuck.
Oh, yeah. There were planes that flew by, boats that passed by, but none of them had
helped her.
None of them spotted her. None of them, they couldn't see her. The reason why they couldn't see her is because the raft that she was in was white, right?
Okay.
So it blended in with the caps of the waves. As the waves are going, they capsize and they're like, you know, the water looks white while it's capsizing.
Right.
So she didn't stand out.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's why they're orange now, I bet.
Well, yeah.
Or yellow.
That's a very good prediction.
Yeah.
That's a very good prediction.
I mean, you know, this is where it comes from.
Right, folks. Yeah.
This is why you got life rafts.
This was, you know, it made her blend in. So she was submerged in waist-deep water, basically, for almost 3 days. When I say waist-deep water, she was in this cork raft, but she was in the water.
Right.
It was netting.
She really had some really wrinkly skin, and her skin was falling off.
Yes. It was fucked up.
Her skin was falling off, wasn't it?
I mean, no, I don't think her skin fell off.
More than likely. She had them little wrinkly.
So, on the fourth day, this big Greek freighter ship that's in the Providence Channel, she had ended up floating over 200 miles over the four-day period that she was in raft. So the this guy on this Greek, the captain of this Greek freighter, spotted a wave where it capsized, but the white cap didn't disappear.
Right.
So he was like, well, what is that? So he was like, I'm going to go, you know, investigate and see what the fuck that is.
Right.
So he noticed that it's a girl
in
the fucking ocean.
She's out there chilling.
She's
like,
chilling.
I done got my suntan.
Yeah.
Used to this shit. Give
so
me a fish.
When he found her, he, for some reason, thought to, like, grab his camera and take a photo of her before he grabbed her and pulled her in.
Mm. Oh, wow. Y'all, she's right in the
middle of
this
photo.
That is fucking wild.
See? So her body was in water the entire time.
Right. Yeah, she definitely,
yeah.
That is crazy.
Yeah. So
Terry Joe, I'm telling you. Hashtag Terry Joe's a savage.
Hashtag Terry Joe's a savage. Oh, man.
Hashtag Terry Joe. Easy killer.
She was almost, basically almost in a coma when they found her.
Oh,
like,
my God.
She was severely dehydrated. She had severe sunburns, sun poisoning.
You know she was hungry.
She had a heat stroke. Her fever was 106.
Oh, my God. She survived.
Yep. So, when she was found, Captain Harvey was being interrogated by the Coast Guard.
Right.
Because they had some suspicions from the beginning, but they didn't have any evidence to prove that he wasn't telling the truth.
Right.
So,
Captain Harvey's a whore.
Right. So, he, you know, is being questioned, and then as he's being questioned, they get, like, radioed in that Terry Joe's been found alive.
Shit. Captain Harvey's hearing that shit, panic is erupting.
Yeah, so At first, he seemed very cheerful and very happy that she was found alive. He was like, oh, that's great, you know?
Right,
like,
knowing that he punched her in the face.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
He was like, He asked after that to be excused from questioning, and they couldn't legally hold him because they didn't have any evidence.
He's like, all right,
so they let him go. He let go. He went back to his hotel that he was staying in. And bitch, this motherfucker.
Oh my god, he did some wild shit.
He took a razor and slashed his thighs, ankles, and his throat.
I mean, he's wild.
And bled out in the hotel room.
Like, why though? Like, why, guy?
Because he was guilty as fuck. So the maid of the hotel found him the next morning.
Wow, can you imagine going in that room?
So then after all this happened, you know, Terry Joe's, she's recovering. You see her right there. That was her.
That's crazy.
Her on the stretcher and stuff. So after he kills himself, they're like, all right, well, something's up with this dude, obviously.
Why would you just, like, survive something so dramatic and then
go slice your ankles up and shit?
Like, no, hello, I'm having a good day, but goodbye, I'm going to go kill myself. Warning. This does not mean to make fun of people that do commit suicide. This is just making light of a really touchy subject, and I tend to do that a lot.
That's what we do
here.
If you're
offended by me doing that, I'm very sorry. My goal is not to offend you.
Don't be a Captain Harvey.
We want to be fucking Terry Joe.
Okay? Yeah. Be the Terry Joe in the situation.
We need to be Terry Joe. All right. Bitch.
So, they're, you know, obviously they're looking into his past and stuff and seeing what the hell's going on with this guy, because they're like, well, obviously he killed himself, so he's probably guilty, you know. So they found out that he had took out a $20,000 life insurance policy on his wife a few months before the murder, which they only got married a few months before the murder. So right. It was like he got married and took out a life insurance policy on her. And $20,000 doesn't sound like much now.
And
but
he was the guy that was married a bunch of times before?
Yep, six times total.
Six times.
And he...
I wouldn't have went on the yacht with him. I'd have knew right then and there.
Yeah, so he killed his wife for this life insurance policy money.
And takes out the...
But it was $20,000, which isn't a lot nowadays.
But back then
it was a lot of money.
A lot.
Yeah. So
$20,000 then was probably like $100,000 or something.
They
like
believe that he had tried to kill his wife on the ship that night, and that's why he suggested that they go and sail at night so he could kill his wife with no victim or not victims, I'm sorry. No witnesses, you know. But the authorities think that some members of the Duperreau family had witnessed this, and so he panicked and, like, killed them.
Right.
And then decided to just sink the fucking ship and try to save himself and come up with this elaborate story that something happened when
you
it didn't.
You know that motherfucker was on the boat, like, all right, talking to that dead 7-year-old.
Right.
Like, body, like, yeah, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
I'm going to make it look like I saved you, but I didn't. Not realizing
Terry Joe to save her.
Is out floating 200 miles east, ready to fuck your whole plan
She's ready to take everything away. But then that's why he killed himself, because he knew that
he knew
she was going to fucking
throw
him under the bus.
Terry Joe's about to fuck everything up.
Yeah. So, more, you know, investigation was done into his past. And in 1949, his third wife... And his mother-in-law, who was the mother of his wife, obviously,
right.
They were trapped in a car that Captain Harvey was driving after it crashed off a wooden bridge.
Oh, shit.
Into, like, 15 feet of water.
Right.
But the funny thing about it was, is that he was able to escape.
But they wasn't?
But his wife and mother-in-law were not.
So... He's killed before.
So, diving experts and police determined that it was highly unlikely for Harvey to escape without injury unless he knew that the accident was coming and was able to jump out of the car, like, just before it went over the bridge, which is possible. Yeah. But, at the same time...
Wouldn't he have marks?
They didn't have any...
they didn't do all
well,
that.
He was uninjured.
Ah.
But they didn't have any evidence that... He did it on purpose or, you know, but still, that's fucking suspicious as fuck.
Right, well, one, how did he not have injuries jumping out of a car at the rate of speed it was going?
Or maybe he just wasn't the only one that wasn't seatbelted in, and he knew his way out. Right. He knew it was coming, so he knew like what his plan of escape was.
Right.
You know, sense. Beforehand. That can,
or back then he probably could have drugged him and then pushed it off, like
anything really. Anyway. Yeah. So he was never charged due to lack of evidence that he had done anything wrong. Right. So, he had a yacht called the Torbatross.
Yeah.
And he also had a powerboat called the, Valiant. And both had sunk under suspicious circumstances.
Yeah, he just likes collecting money.
Which yielded him large insurance settlements.
Right. Makes sense.
Yeah. So...
That's wild.
Yeah, he had a complete history of, like, obviously, like, trying to kill his past wives for insurance money, sinking his own fucking ships for insurance money, and then fucking clinging to this 7-year-old girl's body's... this 7-year-old girl's body, claiming that he was trying to save her.
Right. And then he didn't know. Mm-mm. Terry Jo was coming.
No, yeah.
Terry Jo did not give a fuck. She was coming.
She stayed in the hospital for, like, a week or two, you know, and it wasn't anything too seriously, because it was basically just, like, she was severely sunburned.
Your whole family died.
And dehydrated. I mean, yeah, obviously she was fucked up emotionally.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, physically, she bounced back fairly quickly.
Yeah.
So
did she become an orphan? Or?
When she was adopted by her aunt and uncle.
Okay.
But she never received therapy for... the ordeal that she had survived.
Right.
You know, and imagine. The way that her aunt and uncle approached the situation was kind of like, they would tell, like, her teachers or, like, friends or anybody, like, to, like, not bring it up. And not even to not bring up the situation.
Act like it never happened.
But they would not even, they would tell them not to bring up her parents or her family or anything like that.
Oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. So she was constantly, like, she had the, like, this big, like, thing, like, hanging over her head that nobody else acknowledged.
Right.
You know? So, like, I could only imagine how crazy that was.
So depressing.
Yeah.
Good
job, man. So, at the age of 12, which this was about a year after all this happened, she changed her name. Well, she didn't change her name, but she changed the spelling of her name. Her name was Terry Jo. T-E-R-R-Y, Joe.
Right.
And then she changed it to just Terry, but she changed the spelling to T-R-E. So, like, Teray.
Teray. That's strange.
But I'm assuming she did this to try to, like, stay out of the public spotlight, because she was, like, on the cover of, like, Time magazine, and that was, like, the big shit in the
back in the
60s.
Right.
Yeah.
You made it to Time.
You're on the cover of Time magazine.
Like being on, that's, like, going viral.
You're, like, a Kennedy or some shit, you know?
Because back then, they didn't just put anything on Time, like they do today.
And
put some good shit.
She, you know, ended up staying out of the spotlight for the most part, except in 1988, she ended up going on an episode of Oprah Winfrey, and she was, she didn't discuss the details of her ordeal, but basically Oprah just kind of, like, marketed the episode as, like, oh, she was, you know, the ship she was on sank, and she was left at sea by herself. They didn't say anything about it being, like, a murderous rampage or anything.
Wow.
They were just like, yeah, and so, like, this, they reunited her with the captain of the Greek freighter that had saved her, basically.
Right. That's crazy.
So,
I mean, that's sweet, but damn, I want the truth out there. I don't want the fucking lies.
So, as a young woman, you know, she studied X-ray technology, but she realized that she couldn't deal with the trauma of working in an emergency room.
Right.
Because of what she had suffered as a child. But it's weird because she ended up deciding that she wanted to, like, work with, like, water.
Mm.
So she got her bachelor's degree in cultural geography from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Right.
For 14 years, she was a water management specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Oh,
Right. So, I mean, don't ask me what the fuck that is, because right. I don't know, but she worked with water and next to water, you know, and she said that she loved that she continued to love water throughout her life, because she said that being near, like, big bodies of water always made her feel, like, closer to her family.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's strange.
And she never spoke publicly about the murders or her survival at sea. Until 2010, which was almost 50 years after it happened.
Damn, yeah.
And she did an interview, with, I think it was NBC. But she also wrote a memoir that was called, Orphaned at Sea.
Oh, man.
And in her memoir, she talks about how the approach of her adoptive family, how, like, the approach that they took with dealing with her trauma, how, like, it harmed her more
right.
than helped her, because they ignored it and didn't right. get her help for it. So it caused her more grief by acting like it never happened, acting like her parents never existed, like, you know.
Right, yeah.
I could imagine how that's... Actually, I can't imagine, really, honestly. But, yeah. So she was, like, very, like... She clung on to, like, memories of her dad more, because she had saw her mom and right. her brother laying in a pool of blood.
Right.
She knew they were dead.
Right.
You know? So, and then, obviously, her sister's body was found with Captain Harvey, so right. she knew she was dead.
Right.
But her dad, she never had any closure with.
So, she didn't know he made it and probably made it
yeah,
somewhere else.
So... She said up until she was about 35 years old, she would go to the beach and she would, like, just look for her dad, or, like, look for signs of him and, like, try to, you know what I mean? Like, see if he was still out there.
Right.
Because she didn't want to believe that he was gone, and she had no solid proof and evidence that he was gone. She had no closure like she did with seeing the bodies of her brother right. and her mom and her sister.
And then seeing them stabbed is even more messed up.
Yeah. And, so she had never accepted the fact that her dad was actually dead.
Right.
She was always like, you know, what if he made it? Or, you know, exactly, like what you were saying. So she told Matt Lauer in her 2010 interview that when she was outside, like, in exposed in the
right.
ocean, right. basically, she says she was never, like, frightened or, like, scared. She said she was always, like, outdoorsy as a child, and she, like...
Because she was just chilling.
She was just, like, she said she was calm, and she said she loved the water, and she had strong faith in God. And she said she believed in God, and she prayed for him to help her, and she said she just went with the flow.
Right.
Literally went with the flow.
Literally went with the flow 200 miles east yeah. or west or south. North shit, I don't know, but...
Right.
Terry Jo was out there not giving a fuck.
Out there flowing.
She was like, you know what? I'm gonna just take... Right. I'm gonna make the best of this. Terry Jo's a savage.
She for real is. So, she wrote her memoir, and she said writing the memoir helped her heal from, you know, the whole entire ordeal.
Right.
I don't even know what else to call it, an ordeal.
Like, what do you say?
A situation.
How do you say
an
that?
An incident.
Well, I was almost murdered, but my boat sank.
When she began to write her memoir in 1999, she underwent a sodium amytal injection, which is a truth serum, basically.
Oh, man. What, they think she was lying, or did
no, 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 they didn't think she was lying. She just, it helped her recall the memories of what happened.
That does make sense.
So, yeah, I mean, I thought it was kind of cool.
Right.
But after all of this, some good came out of this tragedy and her incident, that, the incident that she suffered, and the effort that it took to spot the white cork raft that she was in.
Oh, I knew it.
Steered the Coast Guard into changing the color of life rafts from white to bright orange in 1962, like Brandy had previously predicted.
I did.
Ding, ding, ding. You win a prize.
This was the story that changed the world of sea.
But isn't that kind of cool, though? Did you ever wonder why, like,
ain't that crazy
life jackets are orange?
Right. Yeah, you know? Well, now you know.
Yeah.
Because of fucking Terry Joe.
You can't spot
Terry
it.
Terry Joe done fucking started a movement, man.
Mm-hmm. She changed the world. So now she's married. And she's got three kids.
Right.
Her husband's name is Ron Fassbender.
Oh, fuck yeah. Terry Joe's never disappointed.
So she's Terry Joe Fassbender now. Sorry. Not Terry Joe. She's Teray Fassbender.
Teray Fassbender.
We gotta respect her new identity.
Terry.
So that was the story of the Bluebell Murders. Did you love it?
I loved it.
It was pretty cool, right?
It was pretty cool. And now, and also, ladies and gentlemen, you've learned why life rafts and
all. Yeah, those. Exactly. Not only did you hear about a murder, but you learned a cool fact, a fun fact that you can tell your friends at a party. You can say, hey, do you know why life jackets are fucking orange?
Right, let me tell you the story about Terry Joe, the most savage person on the fucking planet.
Yeah.
She just lived four days in the fucking water. Nothing's wrong. I'm good.
She went there.
Like, fuck it. I'm just gonna fucking chill out on this damn life raft.
She made that ocean her fucking bitch.
She did make... You know what? She made... What's that guy's name? I don't even remember.
Julian Harvey.
Mr. fucking Harvey.
Captain Harvey.
Mr. Harvey wasn't even nothing. Nobody even remembers him. They remember Terry Joe.
And you want to know how I found out about this story?
How? Yeah.
From watching I Survived. Have you ever watched I Survived?
Oh my God, yes.
It's a good show, right?
It is a good show.
Yeah, that's where I heard this from. And it like captivated me from the beginning when she was talking about like she was sailing and everything was fine. And all of a sudden her parents were dead and she was like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know, and then not even just the story of how crazy the murder was, but like her story of her survival afterwards.
Exactly.
And how she fucking changed the world.
That's wild, man.
Hashtag get like Terry Joe.
Right. Fucking Terry Joe for the kill.
Yeah.
Literally,
so,
fuck Harvey.
I hope y'all enjoyed this.
Remember, we can be found on Facebook, Snapchat.
Snapchat? We don't have a Snapchat.
Oh, yeah, we don't yet. But we're going to. Facebook, TikTok, Instagram.
Instagram.
We can be found Easy Killer Podcast.
Yeah.
And my name's Brandy.
And I'm Haley.
And take it easy, killer.